It's my pleasure to welcome back the voice of the racers, Neil Bradley, to Sounds Good. Neil, thanks for being on the show.
Happy to be here again, Tracy.
The last time we spoke was just before the racers' Valentine's Day game at SIU Edwardsville, and they did not give us a Valentine, Neil.
You know, I had erased that week from my memory, but since you've brought it up, I guess we do have to talk about it. Yeah, it was one of those games, and you talk about having the night set up for you. You know, you go into that, and we're thinking if some way Belmont could lose a game, the racers could climb into the spot for that top seed in the tournament and a regular season championship. So that would really be huge. So as the game's going on, I have a thing called Sling Box. I'm sure you've seen it advertised. So I'm actually watching the Belmont-Tennessee State game as ours is tipping off, and Tennessee State beat them. So I thought, it's a lock. So the racers weren't playing real well, but not that big a deal. They have a lot of games. If you follow them this year, that's kind of been the modus operandi. They'll struggle a little bit at times, but then they'll find their mojo and put the run on somebody, and the game's over. And even until the seven-minute mark, I kept waiting for it. And then a kid from Edwardsville gets an open three in the corner. They go up by eight. And the gym there, they only had a couple thousand fans, but their fans, they knew they weren't going to beat Murray State until then. Then they started believing. They got into it. And it was just one of those nights, Tracy. Racers couldn't make a shot. Isaiah Cannon couldn't hit a three. He did hit a couple, but I think he tried 12 or something like that on the night. Even missed two layups. You don't see that happen. But on one of them, Latrez Muschat gets the rebound point blank and puts it on the front of the rim. It was just one of those nights that every team has now and then. Last year, the Racers good enough defensively to win that kind of game, but just not quite there this season, and they lost.
They lost 65-60, so no big deal. Every team has a bad game. Two nights later, on February 16th, we travel to Eastern Illinois, and Racers take one on the chin, 79-70.
Yeah, this is a team that they had beaten by 21 points, and I think the night they beat them, that might have been Eastern Illinois' ninth or tenth straight loss. But their coach, after that game, talked about it was a really good first half for their team. I think they were either ahead of us most of the half and maybe fell behind just by two or three points. But I was really proud of the way his team played, real upbeat, and they went on a bit of a winning streak. And I think they've had a winning record from that point on, even though they're a 20-loss team. And that night, I was at the shoot-around that day in the morning. It's an hour-long sort of a practice session that the team has. And the day before at practice, they went through everything they needed to do to stop Eastern Illinois. And I sat and called a game where none of that materialized. They didn't close out on the three-point shooters they needed to close out on. They didn't do anything for the most of the night for the backdoor cuts. And we just kind of ate out of Eastern Illinois' hands. We were like a little fawn eating corn out of their hand. And by the time we looked up, they did put on a valiant run at the end, but they lost the game. And the team that was better that night won the game. The team better that night was Eastern Illinois.
Then on February 20th, our third consecutive road game, we traveled to Moorhead. And, boy, what a tough game. The Racers did prevail 106-100 in two overtimes.
People had talked about that three-game swing, and I told everybody, well, the two tough games or the two games that we play, they may be tough, but the Racers, they'll beat Edwardsville, they'll beat Eastern Illinois. But I'm a bit concerned about Moorhead State. And at one point during the game, I thought, well, obviously I had this completely turned around because the Racers were up by 20 with about 10 and a half minutes to go. And then they missed a few shots. Moorhead made a few, got some steals, turned them into baskets, and sent it to overtime. The Racers looked totally dead. And with they were seven down with about 2.5 minutes to go in the first overtime. I'm already penciling that in my head as a loss. They came back. Ed Daniel hits a little tip in late to send it to overtime. And the Racers were able to recoup. But the most important thing to come out of that besides the win is Isaiah Cannon. Found Isaiah Cannon. We joked that he found his cape. I don't know where it was, but the managers found that he put it on. 17 points in overtime. He ended up hitting 5 3-pointers, and that's had a good carryover. Racers get out with a double overtime win, and the momentum has been pretty good from that one.
That was a very important game because if you lose that, you've lost three in a row, and that sets the table for, of course, the Bracket Buster game, which we played Saturday at the CFSB Center. This was a very exciting game. Like a lot of Racer games this year, it was back and forth, but the Racers did beat South Dakota State and Nate Walters 73-62. And we got to see some great individual matchups between Isaiah and Walters in that game.
Yeah, early on, South Dakota State made a lot of shots. Racers kind of adjusting to the tempo of the game. Defensively fell behind by 14, closed it to 3 just before the half, and then they made a couple of shots. I think it was a 6-point game at halftime. Then the lead gets back out to 14 again. But from that point on, the Racers' defense took over. It created turnovers, which created offense, which created more turnovers, which created more offense. And then, and a lot of that, the run where they took the lead, Isaiah Cannon was on the bench. C.J. Ford, a marvelous job coming in off the bench. Jeffrey Moss also did very well. They put Cannon back in, complete the comeback. Moss hits a shot clock beating 3, and then Cannon goes off and schools the nation on, oh, this is why the NBA scouts were there having a look. A couple of blow-by layups, deep threes, and he had a 35-point game, and I mean just a fantastic, or 22-point game, that one, 35 the game before, but saved the best for last in that contest.
And so now the Racers, with 2 games left in the regular season, they're locked in pretty much to their seeding in the tournament. So let me ask, what do you think Coach Prohm and the rest of the coaches are looking for in tonight's game against UT Martin and then Saturday's game with SEMO?
Well, of course, primary goal is always to win, but he is also, I think, going to try to get more of his bench minutes if possible tonight. That'll require the starters to get a big lead, or at least get a lead where they can play the bench somewhat. I think he wants to get some more minutes for C.J. Ford, maybe get some rest for the starters. That's sort of good, but you don't want to rest him too much. You want to at least try to play him 20-plus minutes. But on the other side of that, they're dealing with a Martin team desperate. They have a chance to get in the tournament. They have to have wins. So it's another one of those teams, sort of like Edwardsville and Eastern Illinois, that must have a win. They'll be playing their hearts out. And I think the other goal, if they can accomplish those other things, get Jordan Burge a basket. He's looking for his first score as a Racer. He has 2 more shots to get one at the CFSB Center.
And so set the scenario for the OVC tournament. The teams that are in contention to play against the Racers after the Racers get a first-round bye, but who are the teams they're looking at facing, I guess, in the second round of the OVC tournament?
If there are no upsets, Tracy, it's likely going to be either Eastern Kentucky or Tennessee State. And as of right now, the front runner on who they would play would be Eastern Kentucky, because that would be the 3 seed. Looks like Tennessee State will be the 4. But that could change between now and by the time Saturday night's games are complete. So, but one of those 2 teams are the likely team. However, another team, if there's a dark horse team that could surprise and get to that Friday night, it might be Southeast Missouri. They have talent, a lot of offense. They don't play a ton of defense, but they're a team that could sneak into that Friday game. I don't know if they have what it takes to win 4 straight, but they do have what it takes to get to that point if the cards fall right for them.
And in either case, the Racers will play their first OVC tournament game, which will be in the semifinals. And when will that game be?
It'll be a Friday night. It'll be an 8 p.m. game unless Belmont loses both games. That's not going to happen this week. So unless that were to happen, but the Racers will play the 8 o'clock game. Belmont will play the 6 o'clock game. Should the Racers be fortunate enough to win, championship night will be a week from this Saturday at 6 p.m.
And I know no one wants to jinx anything, and the games are played on the court. That's why we have the games. But what are your expectations and your feelings about this team? Because you have watched them probably more closely than anybody not on the coaching staff this year.
Here's what I think. If ESPN picks up the phone and says, we're not going to bring ESPNU to the semifinals, and we're not going to bring ESPN2 to the championship, someone else might win. But when the bright lights of TV are on this team, they seem to really do well. I believe they will win it just because of that. They're guys that know when to shine, know when their time is. Ed Daniel, Isaiah Cannon seem to be able to raise their game a level. They've been there before. Barring an injury that we can't foresee, I can't see them being denied a OVC tournament championship.
You heard it from the voice of the Racers himself, Neil Bradley. It's always a pleasure to have you on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here.